Blog Talk Radio.
Age of freedom has come, and the something that has to be won. It means you have to work for your freedom. Nobody's going to give it to you. This is our brother Elohim. You're tuned in to Elohim Radio Sunday at 3 p.m. We have a pretty good topic for you today. There was one other thing that was in the song. I don't know if you listened to it or not, that your cosmic energy. So if you think in terms of yourself being energy, and not just physical blob walking around that people call an animal sometimes, there's so much more than that, okay? The topic of today is love, health, economics, and we have a cipher from Jesus. Kind of strange, because in certain circles, the minute you mention Jesus, everybody goes, or mine goes in a certain direction, you know? Because they have been misusing and taking advantage of the teachings and the man's name for so long. Of those who are waking up and coming into their own or beginning to say, hey, something's wrong with this, you know? But if you, once you begin to understand exactly what he actually taught and what he was trying to give to the people, then you would sort of get around what they're trying to do. The same thing when you mention the name Muhammad. It just goes a certain way, you know. He was a very humble, wonderful person, you know. But most of us don't know that because we're being used and tricked by the people who bring forth the religions, you know. I want you to ask yourself a question before we actually start the message today. The two things that they don't want you to actually have a complete understanding of is love and religion. If we knew how to love each other, we would not be in a situation that we're in today. If you knew what religion was, we would not be in a situation that we do with today. Just as a question, just as a test. Find 10 people. Don't matter what religion they are, whether they're Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, don't make no difference. Ask them what religion is. Just ask 10 people, and you'll get a different answer from each one. Find a different 10 people or the same 10 people. You can ask them, what does love mean to them? And you get a different answer from each one. They do not want you to know what religion is. They do not want you to know what love is, because those are the two most unifying things on the planet. If you understood what they were, you would be so unified that all this evil and mayhem and madness that's going on would not be going on, okay? So the message that we're giving you is for things that you can do right now to begin to change the planet. I'm just one guy. How can I change all this stuff that's going on out here? You think so little of yourself, because in a lot of ways you don't actually know who you are. But if you understand, okay, or if you could see the true meaning of love, if you could see the true meaning of religion, these problems that we're having would actually go away, you know. And I'll always start the show off every week with some type of talk about love, because that's the most important thing that we have to bring ourselves together, you know. Our families don't know how to love each other. The children don't know how to love the parents. The parents don't know how to love the children. What they're teaching us about love is not really love. We stalk each other and go crazy because we have a feeling for each other, not knowing that we probably was hooked up in another life with the person, and those feelings kick in. But there's so much more to the whole thing than what they're actually teaching you, you know? Because, see, love is action. Your actions is determining how a person responds to you. And if your actions are good and true, then the person will respond to you very, very well. If you study the 42 munitions of Ma'at, this is coming from Egyptology, you know, you can relate all of the things that they say in Ma'at to all of the religions all over the planet, because that's where all of it stems from, okay? Going all the way back 5,000-6,000 years ago, this is where it's all coming from, okay? Even further than that, we don't get into too much of that. That's a long lecture by itself. But they talk about the pureness of the heart, and if the heart be light, you weigh the heart, the heart is lighter than the feather, you know, because they understood that the heart has that neural net in it, and that it remembers, and it knows, and it learns. Plus, it gives off a pheromone, too, that gives you a feeling when you're around somebody that done something they ain't got nothing to do that you didn't like. Those hormones come up and you say, boy, I don't like that guy, I don't like this girl. And because the heart is a very important instrument in your life and in your every endeavor, you know, it's very important to the body too. So I just wanted to throw that out there for a minute, you know. And if you don't know anything about Ma'at, it's not going to hurt you to take a couple hours to go on the internet, look up Ma'at, and read, look at the 42 missions of Ma'at. And you'll see that if you study the Bible, Quran, if you study the Kabbalah or whatever books that they have out there right now, the Bhagavad Gita, if you study these books, you'll see all of the things that they're teaching is in Ma'at. You know, all the things that they're teaching is in my heart. So it doesn't hurt you to go back into history to study, but not to study just to know what they did in the past, but to study how those things that they did can help you today, because this is what we need to focus on. We need to focus on what we can do to help ourselves now. You know, they say those who don't remember, those who don't remember the past will be doomed to repeat it. You know, some things in the past we want to repeat. Some things in the past we want to let go, we want to learn from, based on what was done to you as a people, you as a person, you as a group, or whatever. But everything that you're doing, we have to begin changing our mindset. Stop thinking future, stop thinking past, think now. What am I doing right now that's going to get me to my end game? But that's another thing, you have to first develop an end game. They don't teach you that in school, to develop your end game. So you have to develop an end game so you know exactly where you're going, okay? Now, what cipher was I talking about that Jesus said? Now, we're talking about love, right? Jesus said, love you one another even as I have loved you. Now, why did he say it like that? He said it like that because he knew that the people didn't know how to love each other. And he was trying to give an example of what love is. That's why he gave you that cipher. So when somebody tell me, I want people to love me the way they love themselves, I step back and think, I say, wait a minute. I don't want people to love me the way they love themselves, because some people hate themselves. They drink, they smoke, they take drugs, they act all, they act weird, they don't do what they're supposed to do. They eat weird things because they don't know how to eat. No, please don't treat me like that. You know, there's examples of how to treat somebody, and those examples are in the book. Go in the book, learn how Jesus treated the people, and treat me like that. Go into your Quran, learn how Muhammad treated the people, treat me like that, because you don't know how to treat me, because you don't know how to treat yourself. Okay? If you begin treating yourself with love, those acts on yourself, see, that push you further, that uplift yourself, then you will know how to treat me, because all your actions towards me will push me and help me uplift myself. And that's what it's all about. We beat each other up, down talk each other, and one of the worst things that they could have ever done to us was to come up with this game they call playing the dozens or busting on each other. That's hurtful, especially to the person that's being bust on, you know. We play it off like it don't mean nothing, and people be laughing, y'all laughing back and forth, but it actually affects you. It affects your psyche coming through elementary school, high school, junior high school. It really affects you pretty much. So those kind of activities, we need to just stop doing. We need to just give them up, because they're not really helpful to each other, and it's very hurtful, okay? And say that a man is known by the work that he does, okay? Now, naturally, most of the sayings that are coming out of his books are coming from, they use men, because you got to remember, men wrote all this stuff. And there was a big battle between the sexes. Now, this battle between the sexes going on, it didn't just start. It was had over 4,000 or 5,000 years that this was going on, because the men didn't want to be ruled by the women. And the women don't want to be ruled by the men, because we're not supposed to rule each other. So at one time, there was a matriarch society, whereas the women rule. But the men don't like being ruled. And women don't like, nobody likes to be ruled by nobody else. That's just how we are. So the men fought back, and they stripped women of all of their power. They're still doing the same thing today. I mean, here you got Hillary Clinton. She's running as the first female to be nominated as a president, for president over a major party. First female. And they got to remember, women just got the right to vote a couple of years ago. You know, they've been suppressing the female's power forever because they know how powerful women are. Trust me. Men know how powerful women are. And they know you wouldn't have no problem running this planet. Probably better off with you guys running it. But we have no problem with women running it, knowing that you can run this planet. You can run this thing better than anybody. They know that. One of the top females on the planet, Queen of England, you know, she running the whole shebang, you know. She's doing a lot of evil and dirt out there, but she's running the whole shebang. So they know the power that you have. So the big battle came about between men and women, between the sexes, that's been going on for a long time, okay? But if you practice love, practice understanding and not try to rule over each other, because God should not rule God, and you're both gods, you know. Like it or not, that's what you are. That's what the books say you are. And that's what I say you are, too, because conscious energy forms in flesh. That's what a god is. You have greater gods and lesser gods. We're talking about some of the animal forms that are lesser gods, but they're gods, too. That's why we were told not to eat them as far as flesh is concerned. And I don't want to get off topic here, but we should focus a lot more on our actions than what we say, especially on the actions of Yahshua ben Bedera. That's his actual name, Yahshua ben Bedera. They have a Bendera temple named after him in Egypt, and his family is very prominent. Don't just believe what I'm saying. Go look it up. It's all, the internet is out there. I'm just throwing these out there because I'm trying to introduce you to another thought process, okay? We're going to go into a thought process that's really going to help you. If you just sit back and listen to it, you know, just listen to the thought process, not that you believe or disbelieve. Because what I say is not right, and what I say is not wrong. The thought process. Now, the thought process that you're under right now, if that thought process is bringing you everything that you want and need, then keep it. But if it's not, you need to change it, okay? Not so much the learning, but the thought process about the learning that you have. And this is very important, okay? If we follow the example that Yahshua or Jesus put up, you'll understand that he never put himself above the people. He never did. The people did that. Muhammad did the same thing. He never called himself a prophet. He called himself a messenger. See what I'm saying? Jesus said he was the Son of God, and he went crazy with that. But he said, he who took care of the least of my brothers have taken care of me. Because he was very humble. He put himself on a pedestal. I'm so much better than you, and I'm your God, I'm your Lord. You know, you really have to read what he's saying, but more so, watch what he did. Watch what they say he did. Of course, he didn't verify nothing that's in the book, because he didn't write nothing in the book. But think about what he said. Think about what he did instead of what he said. Now, when you're around each other, you have to think about what your actions are, how you're treating each other. Now, what I'm saying to you now is to help you right now. Remember, the problem that we have in our communities, this is global. It's not just here in the United States. This is worldwide. The problem that we have is because we don't know, we don't can't see. Two things, we can't see love, and we can't see religion. So we don't see these things. We can't hear what's coming out of our mouths in relationship to these things, all right? This is what Yahshua, Jesus, said in reference to praying. He said, look, man, you know, you got people running around making long prayers and want to be called Father and Holy and all that kind of stuff. They want to be prayed just so people can see them praying. They go home in your closet. Go home in your closet and pray. Shut the door, you know, because your prayer is supposed to be between you and that which you call your deity. That's what your prayers are for. It's an individual. We're going to just say what religion is for a minute. Religion is an individual journey between you and that which brought you into existence. It's an individual journey for you to get back to source, for you to get back to your power base. That's what it is. It ain't a group. It's not a group effort. Look, when they put that coffin up there, nobody's in that coffin but you. You know what I mean? And when you came out mama's womb, you came out by yourself. I don't even care if you was a twin. You came out one at a time, you know? Came out by yourself. You're going by yourself. The whole thing is an individual journey to get back to source. That's what religion is. That's what our lives are supposed to be about, how to get back to source. Now that I've said that, okay, if you teach your children today, okay, how to love one another. Now, the least of us, that's the junkie, the bum on the street, the sick, the poor, and the homeless. So you think that the power is at the top, but the power is actually at the bottom. But once you start coming together on the bottom, you will begin to control the top. That's why they send the SWAT team and all that stuff after you when you get there, give up the group, try to do something to help. Oh, man, they don't want you helping nobody out there. They don't want you helping each other out there. They want you ornery and cantankerous. They want you walking past the guy with the cup. It doesn't matter whether the guy going to take the money and go buy whatever he's going to buy with it. Your job is to help the person out, okay? And if they don't have the wisdom not to take that money and go buy drugs with it, that's not your problem. See what I'm saying? Your problem is that you have a lot of money in your pocket. That one little dollar is not going to hurt you, all right? It's not going to hurt you at all. But there are people out there that are actually hungry and will take the money and go buy food. A lot of times I buy food for them when I'm out there, you know? But you have to begin to reach out to help one another. You take all the money into your churches and your organizations and your groups and all that, and the people on at the bottom aren't getting the help. You know? They're using the money to foster more money intake facilities so that they can create more money, you know, but the money's not getting to the people that really actually need it, okay? Now, if you teach your children just these two things right now, especially the 57 budget, we're getting held on later. But if you teach your children to learn how to act out of love, they will begin to do the same thing to you. And you won't have problems with these children. Trust me, you will not have problems out of your children. If you act with them out of love and they act with you out of love, you won't have no problems with your children because you'll be teaching them how to love. You got to teach them what love is. This is why they're having so much problem, because they do not know what love is. Now, we're going to slide in health. I didn't mean spend that much time on love. But I think either the last amount or the first amount, I talk a great deal about love because it's so important. That's why I talk about it so much, because it's so important. This is why we're having the problems that we're having. If you start acting now, out of love, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but if you start acting right now out of love, everything and everybody around you will begin to change. They'll feel you differently. They'll see you differently, and they'll act towards you just as wonderful as you're acting towards them, okay? Now, we're going to slide into health. Now, I'm talking about a thought process. All right? Now, this thought process is kind of out there, all right? I wasn't intending on going into this story process, but I think it is something that I want to do, something that I think I need to do, okay? First thing first, right? When you're dealing with health, we got to talk about mental health, all right? Let's talk about mental health first. Don't debate with people, especially about the holy books. Don't do that. Listen to what they have to say. What they're telling you is where they live at, what their thought process is. The Bible, Quran, Bhagavad Gita, Aspi, all these books have multiple thought processes in them. From the child all the way up to the 80, 90-year-old person, there's a thought process that sits each one in the same passage that you're reading, okay? So what you need to do when you listen to a person as you're conversing, listen to what they have to say. Learn where they live at. Then once you understand where their thought process is, because all the knowledge up to that point brings them to a certain conclusion. It's not your job to change their mind. It's your job to learn how to converse with them so that you don't be arguing, fussing, and fighting. So if they live in a certain place, then stay there. Be there with them. If you're wise enough to see where they live at, then you go in and visit. Go in and visit with them. Enjoy it. Enjoy where they live at. Enjoy their time. You might be able to add a little bit onto where they are, but don't try to change their mind. Don't think it's your job to change their mind because they're not. Where a person lives at is between them and source. That's where a person lives at. Now, we're talking about health, okay? We're talking about health and what you're eating, okay? Now, this is a very... This thought process is out there, okay? So listen to it, and I'm saying things that make you say, Some things you're going to disagree with 100%. That's okay. That's fine, too, you know. And if you want to give your opinion on what I'm saying, that's fine, too. But I'm not going to debate you about the books, okay? I don't do that. I don't debate. I'll take your opinion. That's your view. That's fine. That's where you live at. I understand that. That's fine. One day we can talk where you live at, and we can communicate on or at that particular place, okay? Now, the thought process I'm going to give you right now is very, very, it's kind of like out there, all right? I wasn't intending on going into this thought process, but I think it's necessary because it has something to do with health and how you're eating, okay? Now, if you remember in Genesis, in the Bible, God was showing Adam and Eve, he was telling them what to eat in the garden. That means they haven't eaten yet. He was teaching them what to eat because at that particular time, they were incorporeal entities. The Garden of Eden was four incorporeal entities. And that's what they were at the time. Now, he told them what to eat, but he told them one particular app. Didn't say apple. Didn't say apple. One particular app not to consume. See, when you're eating, right, you're eating an app. You're eating information that's going into your system that can alter your spirit. Okay? This is what God knew. So he was telling them to eat certain things, but he told them not to eat flesh because he wasn't telling them to eat for the body. He was telling them to eat for the spirit, see? And the spirit, when you eat for the spirit, you're eating an app. You know, like when you download an app for the phone and it changes the nature of the phone? Well, when you eat, you're eating an app. And that app you're downloading into your body, but it's actually for the spirit because the spirit controls the physical. The spiritual realm controls the physical realm, okay? Once they consume that app caused to change the nature of what they were and they became physical. That's why all of a sudden they could hear God walking. All of a sudden they could see themselves. Oh, wait a minute, man. I couldn't see this before. They were feeling each other. If you know anything about the spiritual realm, it's not a thing that you see with your sight, it's a thing that you feel. So now here they are, right? All of a sudden they can see, hey, man, I'm not supposed to be seeing this. Let me cover this up. Do you understand? They went from incorporeal to corporeal. This is one of the lessons that Yeshua tried to tell us during the crucifixion. When he rose again, he went from physical incorporeal, and he was talking to the people. He said, don't touch me, I have not ascended yet. You understand what I'm saying? So the lessons are there. See, when you come into this dimension of the incorporeal being, the planets and stuff to live on, once they consume some of the apps, once they consume the food from the planet, it lowered their vibrations and they became physical. And they had to go without eating any physical food for 7 years before they can go back to being corporeal and incorporeal. Now, is it possible to live for 7 years without consuming no food? There's evidence to support that. There's a breath-saving institute in California. These guys don't eat food. They live off the prionic substance that's in the air, which you can too if you practice consuming it. But you have to you automatically consume it, but consciously, you can consume more enough to sustain yourself. There's a on YouTube video of a young man that lived on the tree for 5 years with no food, no water, no nothing. They videotaped him for the time 5 years, day and night, to make sure that it wasn't no hoax. The Europeans came over, set up video, cameras, and everything, and you can watch it on YouTube. So the evidence is there that you can live on this prionic substance that's in the air for 7 years. Now, while I mentioned that food is an app, you have to stop thinking in terms of feeding the body and think in terms of feeding the spirit. You ever notice when you go into the high-class restaurants, they give you an appetizer first? They know what they're doing. See, the 1%, they know all this here stuff. But you're not getting this type of information, this type of knowledge. People think it's so far beyond what you are, but it's not, because I know who you are. You know, you, that greatest miracle that ever was born, that's who you are, okay? That one in a million. After all, a million sperms go after the egg, number one get in, and that's you. You're that one in a million, that wonderful, wonderful being. I don't know what you see when you look in the mirror, but that's what you're supposed to be seeing. You're supposed to be seeing God's greatest gift to the planet. That's what you're supposed to be seeing. I wanted to go through that. Now, last week, I was on the Will.i.am show, and he mentioned how detrimental that an app can be when you consume it. And he went into that particular thought process of what happened when they ate, well, the food that he was wasn't supposed to, well, he didn't call it an apple, but that triggered a thought process in him and made him go through that particular teaching. But if you eat for the spirit and not for the body, you'd be amazed at how things change for you physically, okay? Why do you think they call wine and liquor spirits? Because they know it alters your spirit. And if it alters your spirit, it alters your mentality, your psychic, which you can take in everything. So when you're consuming your food, that's why it said, do not eat flesh. How can a spiritual enemy kill something, cut it up, chop it into little pieces, and eat it? What kind of madman would do that when the fruits and vegetables are growing so plentiful all around him? You see what I'm saying? You don't want that type of thing. You don't want that type of energy coming into your spirit, because it will alter your spirit in a very detrimental way when you consume flesh. And you know, 2016, with all the knowledge out here of how to eat, you do not have to eat the flesh anymore. You do not have flesh substitutes everywhere. Yeah, flesh substitute, milk substitute. You do not have to consume the flesh, okay? So I just wanted to throw that out there, that you are actually conscious energy formed in flesh. That's who you are. And that's what they call God. That's what the Bible says. You're all gods, children of the Most High, okay? It's telling you who you are and what you are, but you have to accept or see what they're talking about, because there's nothing greater on the planet and off planet that's greater than what you see in that mirror. I'm just saying, I don't know what you see when you look in the mirror, you know, but that's what I see. I see a walking miracle. I see something wonderful. When I look at a person, I see something wonderful, and that's how I treat people. I said, look at this miracle coming towards me. How you doing? Some of them don't even speak because they don't know me, but that's okay. It's okay because my energy, I'm throwing that energy out there to them. Whether they speak or not, it doesn't matter, but the energy goes out anyway, you know? So I just wanted to drop that right quick about the incorporeal thought process that's in that, okay? That's why they were able to see the Dracon, that little snake being. They were shapeshifters. They were in the incorporeal form. They can see them, talk to them. But once they consume that app and their physical and their spirit changed the physical, they weren't talking to the snake no more. It wasn't really a snake, but it just, the message I'm trying to drop today is that there are different thought processes in those passages, okay? The more you study, the more you begin to see what's in those thought processes, you can change your thought process. It will help you grow, help you understand who you really are, you know? This is why they had to leave the garden. I know the story about them being kicked out and all that, but they had to leave the garden because the garden was for incorporeal beings, you know, whether they be Dracons or whatever they are, you know? It wasn't for corporeal beings, it was for incorporeal beings, okay? I just wanted to drop that. So when think about it for a second. Go into a high class restaurant, first thing they give you is an app. So start eating for spirit, not for the physical, start eating for the spirit. I mean, one meal a day is plenty, you know? And the best way to start right now is just to stop consuming in between meals. Don't eat in between meals. Once you eat, that's it. Don't eat until the next meal. If you're doing three meals a day, then just eat three meals a day. If you're doing two meals a day, just eat two meals a day. If you're doing one meal a day, just eat the one meal a day. Don't eat in between meals. And watch the difference in how you feel, you know? Lean more towards fruit and salad. That will help you a lot as well, okay? I think I went a little over here. I'm not supposed to go that far. I got a little carried away. I do this. I get carried away on certain subjects because certain subjects are so important, because I don't really get into them. I don't have a chance really to get into them that much, you know. But sometimes when they do come up, I like to get into them. And this topic that I got into today was something I was wanting to get into for a while, but I just didn't think it was time to do that. But today I wanted to do it just to make you go, something to think about, you know. But the main thing that I want to say is that don't debate the books. Don't argue back and forth about the books, because the person in that thought process is right for them. And your thought process is right for you. The best thing that you can do, and the best thing you can do with each other, is listen to each other's thought process. Learn where each person lives at. I talk to people, I mention the Bible, conversation over. So I can't mention the Bible or the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or any of the books, you know, to some people, because that's not where they live at. They have shut all that down, you know. So we have to talk from a different venue, which is okay. You know, once you start communicating with other people, you can talk any place, wherever they want to go at, fine. You can go there. It's no problem, you know. You don't have a problem with going in different places with people because you're used to doing that particular thing, okay? I got carried away here. I didn't actually go into what food you should eat and stuff like that there because I wanted to go through that particular thought process. Just so that you can know that their thought process is there. And not only me, but others understand that particular thought process and they're thinking like that. Incorporeal energy. You are incorporeal energy formed in flesh. That's who you are. Okay? Now I'm going to stop here for a minute and get into a couple of shout outs for the people that I'm opening my cup. I'm sorry I went that far. I wasn't supposed to go that long. I apologize. This is the Elohim Radio Hour here every Sunday at 3 p.m. I can't say every Sunday because I missed a couple, right? So we're in Philadelphia, U.S. time. That's Eastern time. The calling number is 646-564-9888. Press 1 if you want to give a shout-out, have something to say. If you want to give your thought process out over the airways, you can do that too, you know. But just remember, we're not going to debate. I'm not going to argue back and forth about what your thought process is. If that's where you live at, that's fine, because that's where you should live at, and there's nothing wrong with that, okay? So we won't call your name out when you dial 1. We'll just mention the last 4 digits of your phone number, and then you can speak your piece or advertise or whatever you want to say about different people, okay? We released our first gospel CD, 911, Jesus Emergency, Jesus is Coming. The link is CD Baby/CD/Elohim Christ 2, okay? That's the number 2. So check it out. We ask ourselves, when Jesus coming back? Well, when and how is he coming back? Well, we think he's coming back from the same place he came from the first time, out of a goddess's womb. So you sisters out there, be mindful of what you're dumping, the talent that you keep. Might just be the one to get us out of this mess that we're in. So don't take our chance from us. We need those babies, okay? And you brothers, make sure you help the sisters out with those babies, because we do need them, okay? Make them feel comfortable bringing them in, all right? Don't forget to check out my book, Tyrannical Scriptures Part 2, A Crisis Has Come. For more information on that, it's in CD form. You can get them on CD Baby 2. Just call the TCCA at 215-294-0223. Ask from 9 to 5. I'm going to run through this a little fast because I've been people are texting, man, read this stuff a little faster, you know? Okay. So that's what I'm going to do. And if you want to stop me, just hit 1. Or after I get done, you hit 1 and ask me a question or more about a phone number that you need to know, okay? The Will I Am show comes on every Sunday right after mine at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. So call 218-632-0460. And the PIN number is 726-4768-7#, okay? And he talked about everything in the universe. He gave me Texas Day. He talked about everything in the universe. He has a pretty good job. He's very, very knowledgeable. I like the knowledge he'd be dropping, you know. His thought process is pretty good. It's pretty out there. But if you listen and hear what he's saying, you know, you're gonna learn something every time he speaks. I know you're not going to agree with everything he say, but you're going to learn something every Sunday. You're going to learn something if you listen, okay? And I want to thank him for being on the air, okay? Now, I would like to give a shout-out to Horace Butler for his book, Black History Book, When Rocks Cry Out. I like him because he understands our history and helps fill in the missing pieces. For example, did you know that the Americas was called the Americas before any European ever came here? Okay, Montezuma came here with a naval armada, bringing people here with trade and all that kind of stuff. This is before Europeans even came here. Okay, so the Americas is not named after America Vespucci or any other American. It was already the name. They just kept the name and gave it to somebody to trick you so you wouldn't know what it is. So the Americas, okay, was. All the way from Haiti, all the way down to Mexico. Well, read Horace Butler's book, and he has a lot to tell you about the missing pieces of our history that you don't know about, okay? And I also give a shout out to the Legacy of a Nation show that hosted by Matt Costanza that comes on every Saturday at 6 o'clock. He talks about history, politics, health, economics, and you're going to learn something. You know, it's no more than who you are, and where you are, and where you come from. And this is basically what he's talking about, you know. So that number is 347-677-1533. That's our Saturday, 6 o'clock. I'd like to give a shout-out to the Nikki Love Show. She's a spiritual revivalist. She comes on every Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and Thursday at 10:30 p.m. The call-in number is 347-215-8040. You can also get her on our website, NikkiLoveWunam.com. That's WNRM.com, okay? She's a very spiritual person. She does spiritual readings on the air. So if you got a problem, you want to know what's going on in your future, hey, give her a call, and she'll tell you about yourself. I mean in a good way, not in a bad way, okay? we also would like to give out a shout-out to the Black Cross Nurses of Division 178 at 53rd and Gerard in Philadelphia. And, boy, do we need our own nurses because these doctors are killing us. I'm telling you, the third leading cause of death, I'm going to drop this, third leading cause of death in America are the doctors. Trust me, the doctors. Now, who's putting this information out? The American Medical Association has put that information out. If you don't believe me, go Google it up. You can't go to these doctors like they the end all be all in health because they're not. Okay, they're killing more people than heart attacks. Okay, you got to do your own research. I also like to give a shout out to our RBG Industries 1920 LLC. They make designer clothes, buttons, and flags. So if you want a good tailor made outfit, call 609-638-5828 and they'll help you out. Okay, I'd like to give a shout out to the people. Tom Storton, who writes under the name of Yesterday's Child. He has an old-school style out of Philadelphia. He has 6 CDs on the market. Just Google CD Baby, then type in Yesterday's Child, or you can call Tommy yourself at 267-259-4077. I'd like to give a shout-out to the Heaven-Bound Gospel Singers, who have just released their new CD called Reflections. For more information on the album and how to book the group, call Patrick at 215-407-1419. I've seen these guys throw down, and what a treat it was for me. So treat yourself. Go and check them out. And I would be missed if I didn't say, give a shout-out to our resident naturopathic healers and doctors. Now, these guys are pretty good. They're very knowledgeable, both of them, all right? So if you're sick, you have an ailment, you need a couple problems with, you have problems with anything, they can help you out with everything from your skin, outside, inside, upside, downside, they got you. One is Dr. Paul. His number is 215-779-7355. And Dr. Bill, his number is 61-561-3864. I do these shout outs because these people, they're not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk. They're walking the walk. And I believe I can take just a couple of minutes out of the hour just to give them a shout out. I know sometimes they call and listen, but, you know, I'd like to give them a props, okay? So if you're sick and not calling one of these specialists, you deserve what you have. Nah, I don't think nobody deserves to be sick. So we don't really. Just give them a call and don't worry. Be healthy, okay? So what we're going to do, the next portion of the show is economics. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to open up the mics for anybody who want to say anything or have something to say about a group or comment. If you just want to just say hi or just give a shout-out, that's fine, too. You want to give a shout-out to one of your friends, that's fine, too. This is a global network. Now, this show airs around the world, right? And I like to also take the time. My board is full every week. I am so excited because I'm glad that people are calling and listening. Even if you disagree, at least you listen to hear what I have to say, and you can judge for yourself and not get the information from somebody else. Well, I don't like this. Well, I like this. In order to give a shout out, just press one on your phone, and then it'll alert me that you're there. Now, I'm have to be scrolling up and down because the phone, my laptop only can handle so many calls. And it goes down. I have to scroll down to see who's hitting number one. So it takes me a couple of seconds to get to you. You know, just bear with me. But I will find you if you hit with number one. It will come up, okay? And I'll bring in right away for what you have to say. Oh, okay. Let me see here. Let me scroll down and see what's going on. Okay, we have somebody want to come in right now. So before we get into economics, let me open the mic and get their comment. 5829, you're my speaker. Do you have a comment or something you'd like to say? You're on the air.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Race first. How you doing?
Tell me how you doing today. I'm doing black.
Well, you might have to explain to us what that means.
That means I'm feeling good. I mean, you know, I'm from the original of all mankind. So, you know, I'm doing black, and that's the good spirit of all existence. You know, that's how I vibe with my spiritual relationship with saying, you know, I'm doing black. That means I'm feeling good. I'm feeling at the highest point of existence, and that's just an acknowledgement. You know, just recently coined the phrase to, you know, for my own interest in wanting people to realize that I'm here, and I'm here, and I'm feeling good about who I am. You know, so
okay.
Well,
that's very good because they have been telling us that black means sullen, gloomy, dismal, bad, negro, nat, you know, and everything that's evil, they say is bright, is bold. And so feeling black as good is good. That's good for the mindset. That's something to make you say, it's like a center of all shit, right? And
anybody who feels, though, that a certain term is of some kind of power, they're going to flip it to make it their best liking and desire to take the power of energy and the of its application, you know. So if it's flipped around to create a literary documentation of definition for it, they can say, well, we dictate how this term is going to be applied. So I think by it being used in a way in which we say that it's this, you know, we have full control of that literary book to create definitions of certain terms, then we can change that term to take the power away from it. So, you know, when I normally hear black and people say black, it's normally people feel comfortable about their existence. And it seems as though the term itself seemed to garnish respect rather than other terms that might be applied to identify us African people who, you know, the term actually still relates to the continent of Africa and, you know, those who are who has an ancestry background, you know. So I feel as though it has power. When you said I'm black, you can say every other ethnic term that's being applied for us, but saying black seems to put some fear and somewhat is an intimidating term for many of those who are considered oppressors. So that's where I feel. I mean, I'm pretty sure there'd be a debate by others who might follow a certain practice of overstanding, but that's my way to secure the term as being something positive with power related to it. So, you know, I don't mean to be long-winded with that, but that's where I'm coming off with that.
Yeah. So basically saying we don't have to accept their explanation of words about us. We can change
exactly.
The description to suit what we want. Okay, well, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. You know,
You know what I mean? Because this is how they able to do for a long time. You know what I mean? They created a word nigger, and that's one of the harshest terms you want to be able to call someone that you've been able to conquer, you know? And look at us. We still was able to flip something of the most negative and turn into somewhat some people want to call positive. I'll never consider it positive, but we have because it has created a relationship with amongst us to say, you know, that's my people, you know? But I don't can't relate to it being that same thing. But at the same time, I'm just saying we're able to flip terms to make it of our for our best interest, you know, and taking the power out of it by only identifying ourselves with it, you know. But at the same time, that's why I feel applying the term black to me as being a powerful term to identify who we are as a people. You know, I mean, I can say I'm African, but don't seem to garner the same respect from the oppressor as saying I'm a black man. And when you say that, that seems like, you know, there's no confusion about who you are. You know who that is. And there's no way to flip that term besides the fact that, you know, my mind state is saying that I'm fully aware of who it is that I am. I don't have to flip, well, I'm from Jamaica, I'm from Haiti, I'm from Costa Rica, I'm from South Central America. You know, when you say I'm black, there's no other definition you need. You know it's relating to you being from the continent. You realize who you are. There's no ifs, ands about it, you know. So that's why I'm comfortable using the term black. So that's
okay,
why I'm
well, thank you very much. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the comment, and that's pretty good thought process. I like the thought process, and so we're going to move right along here. And what I'm going to do at this particular point, we're going to go into economics. Now, there we have a thought process, whereas we're not dealing with terms of black as a race or anything like that there, but black as a people of power, people with power, people who have power. And unify under particular thing. excuse me, give us a powerful mindset. Okay, that's a pretty good thought process. Okay, now we're going to move on to the economics. We got about 8 minutes left here. So now let's talk about economics for a minute, because without money in your pocket, you know, things get a little off. You know, you can't be happy and comfortable broke. And I know that. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows. Everybody that's been broke know that feeling, you know. But if you use the 50% budget, the stuff I be the message I be giving to you, for things that you can start right now. Don't have to wait till tomorrow. Don't have to wait next week. These are right now things that you can do. Now, economics. Now, just forget about for a minute what they've been teaching you in school, in college, and all. I've been in school for accounting and whole nine yards, and what they would teach you about economics. Think in terms of economics this way: somebody else working and paying you. That's economics. If you don't have anyone working for you, working and paying you money, you don't have economics. If you haven't invented nothing or made a record or a poem or something that you put out there, right, that that can be reproduced without you constantly making it, which we call residual income. If you don't have the property rented out or something like that there, then you do not have economics. What you have is a job. You should be able to go to Florida in the winter, Philly in the summer, someplace else, travel all over the world. You have to stop, get the thing out of your mind that I have to have a job, that I got to be working. No, you want to work so you don't have to work. All right, they got it in our mind that, man, I'm not working. No. Why do you want to work? You need to work on improving your mind. So you need to make enough money so that you don't have to go on that eight-hour week job, that 10-hour week job. You don't want to do that all your life, okay? So if you focus on residual income, spend half, save half. That's the 50% budget. Now, just think for a minute. All of you that are on the line, and I want to thank all of you for being here. And I look at this board and I say, oh my goodness, think for a second. How much money would you have right now if from the time you started working, making money, to the age that you are, whatever it is, if you'd have saved half your income? You'd be loaded. You have enough money to do something, okay? Then have, save half. If you're at a negative $10 budget because I'm there, negative 10 budget because I'm spending 10% over whatever I make, you know, then either start cutting back on what you're spending, just stop doing name brands. That'll save you a whole lot of money. You don't need the name brands. If you look at all the name brands that you're buying, your sneaks and your shoes, they're made in the third world, not third world, but they're made in other countries. Right, they're using they take a $10 pair of sneaks, put their name on it, and charge you $100 for sneaks that only cost $10 to make. The same sneaks you can get at the cheaper stores, just without the brand names on it. Those of you who got those expensive sneaks and stuff, yeah, can see where they made at. They made in one of the little cheap countries with slave labor, so you don't have to wear stuff because somebody else got their name on it. If you want a name on something, write your name on it. You know, your name is just as good as anybody else's, you know, but you have to start cutting back. Then find ways to make extra money, but don't make extra money to spend. Make extra money to save to get down to that 50% budget. Most of us, if you're not at the 50% budget, you're literally living beyond your means. You have to cut back on something or make more, one of the two. You know, and there's always ways to cut back and cut back on some of the foods that you eat, some of the junk that you be buying, that little cup of coffee you buy every day. Get your thermostat, take a couple, you know, don't spend that $2 or $3 for a cup of coffee, and just think about that. You know what I mean? You don't have to do that. Take your food if you're going to work. Take your lunch with you. You don't have to stop at these little fast food joints to get lunch. Take a brown bag, man. You know. Start thinking on how to cut back on that money, how to get to that 50% budget. You're smart. You're very intelligent. Like I said, I know who you are. You're God's greatest miracle. I know who you are. So you can do whatever you set your mind to. You can accomplish whatever you will. So start thinking about how can I get to this 50% budget. Then if you want to go into real estate, don't go down to the real estate place where you go to get the deals. You go to foreclosures and sheriff sale. That's where you get the deal at. Tax lien, you might get into a tax lien thing sometime too. That's where you get the deals at. If write a couple of poems and put up, write a couple of poems, you can I don't talk too much. We only got about 90 seconds left to go. But learn how to get to that 50% budget as fast as you can. It will make a difference. Teach it to your children when they come out of high school. I'm going to go to 50% budget a little more next week for the high school, for the children, how to get them into it immediately. And don't be in a hurry to kick your children out of the house, okay? let them stay there as long as they're working or doing something. Don't have them sitting around playing video games all day long, unless they're going to start learning how to write video games, and that's residual income. If they can write a game, they can publish a game and get the game on the market. You know, if they're good at the games, help them learn how to write the games. I only got about Well, I only got about 20 or 30 seconds left here, but right now I want to stop for a second. And I want to thank everybody that has called in. I really appreciate that you calling in to get this message, because these messages are designed to activate your DNA, to make you say, that's a different thought. That's another way to think about something. I'm not right and I'm not wrong. It's just another thought process that I'm giving you so that you can so it will help you with your data right now. Okay, I got about 10 more seconds. So, like I said, I want to thank everybody that's called in. I appreciate it. Remember, love is the act that makes others feel good. And I'll be checking in with you next Sunday. Peace.